Alhamdulillah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed 1400 years ago the real zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The subject this morning is about zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about ilm, knowledge. That we can have knowledge and it's good. Inshallah, knowledge is something that all of us should work for. But what about the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so I use a comparison when I tell this story, because for me, I'm a simple person and I can understand a simple story a lot easier than something complicated. I can write things about philosophy, but when I get right down to it for my own mind and for my own heart, I just like a little simple story, and this is sufficient for me. So, alhamdulillah, the story or comparison I would like to make is a butterfly. A butterfly. Simple butterfly. That's it. We can think of the process of how to become a butterfly is what? Because a butterfly doesn't start out as that beautiful thing which you see in the springtime flying around from flower to flower. A butterfly starts out as a worm. An ugly, fuzzy worm with too many legs. By the way, can you imagine what it would be like to be this worm? I mean, besides the fact you're too low to the ground all the time, anything can come along and step on you. Any bird can come and pick you up and eat you for lunch. And what's really bad is when you have to go to the shoe store and buy shoes for all those legs. But seriously, this is an amazing thing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anybody would like to tell you about evolution. The last time I was here, I talked about this subject a little bit, evolution. If you believe in evolution, people came from a monkey. How come we still have monkeys? And especially look at this worm, this caterpillar, and how he can become a butterfly. How? If you believe in evolution, that means that there wouldn't be any more worms. They would just all be butterflies. And in fact, we see that Allah, He can evolve in one creation itself from a worm to a bird or a flying insect anyway. In one creation. It doesn't even die. Starts as a worm crawling around and it dies as a flying thing. How? Because Allah is Al-Khalaq. It means He's the creator, and He's al-Bari, which means He's the evolver. Yeah. So these are some of the things we need to use to put together our little story. The story is the story of a butterfly. He starts out as a worm, then he goes through a process of metamorphosis. And he goes from this worm state to become this beautiful, beautiful butterfly. And what we want to focus this morning is not on this aspect of the evolution of the butterfly, but rather something else. Something simple. Something a child can understand this. Think. Look at the butterfly. What do you see? It's a butterfly. Some people like butterflies so much that when that time of the year comes and they see all the butterflies, they just like to go stand and look at them. People will chase them around the earth to go look at them. They don't want to hurt them. They don't want to capture them. They just like to look at them. The wing on the right is beautiful. And the only other thing in all the creation of Allah that's as beautiful is the wing on the left. And it matches it exactly on the opposite. It's symmetrical. You look to the right and you see the twistings and turnings and the colors and the shape. And then you look to the left and you see exactly the same thing as a mirror. As a mirror. And not only does it look alike, guess what? It is alike. Because if you would take the wing from the butterfly and weigh it on one of those gram scales, and then weigh the one from the other one on the gram scale, they weigh exactly the same. And you say, well, naturally they do. Otherwise, how is he going to fly? If one of them is 10 times heavier than the other one, he's going to be going in a circle. But what about these wings? The human being is made with two wings, but of course not on his back, but he's having these two wings of the butterfly in himself. The wing on the right, this is the wing called, we call it ilm, knowledge. We have to have knowledge. If you don't have any knowledge, how do you worship Allah? How? And whenever Allah wants good for somebody, He gives them what? The knowledge of Islam. Fiqh ad-Din. When Allah really wants somebody to have something good, this is what He gives them. Knowledge. Can you imagine something better than being able to know? When it's time to pray, you understand what to do. When it's time to fast, you know how to do it. When it's time to pay zakah, you know how to figure it out. When it's time to do hajj, you understand it and you can do it. This is big knowledge. And the knowledge of Allah Himself. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. This is big knowledge. But it's only one wing and a butterfly. The bird and the butterfly, they don't care about what their wings look like. When they stretch out their wings and you look at them, you say, MashaAllah, look. Look to this certain bird and how it looks, and to this butterfly and how it looks. How the shape of this, amazing, amazing. I can see pictures, I can see things, stimulate my imagination looking at these wings. Some people, when they collect butterflies for a collection, when a butterfly dies, his wings are still there. They will collect these butterflies and they'll put them in a case in a museum or in their office or their den or their library. They make a big case full of butterflies. Did you see this before? Yeah. Sometimes a rare butterfly, you can't find both wings, or one is damaged. But even one wing from a valuable butterfly, you'll put it on show because you like it. To you, one wing is good. And in fact, all you have to do is put that wing right beside a mirror and hold it at the right angle, and it will look like you're seeing the other wing. It's a nice trick. But for the butterfly, he never saw those wings in his life. Ever from the top. Like you see it, he never saw it. And he doesn't care what they look like. He doesn't admire his wings by their beauty. He wants to know one thing. Can I fly? That's what he wants the wings for. He wants to fly. So like the wings to the butterfly, our knowledge should be like this to us. You shouldn't sit and admire your knowledge and say, look at my knowledge. Look what I have. Oh! Where did you get this knowledge? Allah, He knows what's in front of you, behind you, and you don't encompass any of His knowledge except the knowledge which He gives you. And He tells us also in the Quran that He can return people back to their original state, which was with no knowledge at all. Did you see the baby? The small baby? Look at the baby. Do you go to the baby for knowledge? Brand new baby, 2 months old, 3 months old. Do you ask him questions? Huh? The only time you're going to ask him a question when you're too afraid to ask your wife the question. Because you can give him the answer to say the right thing for you. You wouldn't ask a baby. He doesn't know anything. You're going to tell me, Yusuf, I'm not going to talk to a baby. It's stupid. Maybe I'll go, ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-ki, like this. That's it. This is the beginning of you and me and all of us, like that baby. And nobody would talk to us then either. But guess what? Sometimes you see what Allah means, and be careful, because Alhamdulillah, my father, Alhamdulillah, he became a Muslim. He became a Muslim. And I'm very happy about this subject. But it wasn't just a couple years after this time, not even. He began to lose his mind completely. And now, the smartest man I ever knew, a man who was a candidate for Menza, one of the most elite groups of people of knowledge on earth, candidate for Menza, and the only reason he didn't go into Menza, he said he is smarter than they are, because you have to pay money to join. He said, I'll keep my money. This same man today lives with me, and he can't go to the bathroom without we taking a chewing gum, is it? And then sit in there with him and help him. And then he doesn't know he went to the bathroom. This same man whose mind was so clear, many people used to go to him for solving problems. He can handle mathematical equations in his head. And he had a joke for everything. You never ask him anything except to give you a joke first before giving the answer. And today, when he gets up from his chair and walks a few steps, he can't remember where the chair is. Do you want to see what Allah means about returning you back to this condition? Do you want to see what this wing is worth when Allah takes away the use of it? Why I'm telling us this is because this knowledge that we're so proud of, that we're so happy with ourselves, we said, oh, mashallah, look, I know this, I can speak Arabic, alhamdulillah, I can read Arabic, alhamdulillah, I know the tafsir, Ibn Kathir, I know the Quran, I memorize, la, 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 la. Oh, good, good, alhamdulillah. But if you sit and admire that, you've done a strange thing. Because the butterfly didn't admire how his wings look. He just wanted to know, can he use them? But he has something, this other wing, that left wing. What's the left wing? Do you know what's the left wing? Because if you only have this wing of knowledge, you're going nowhere, brother. You're not getting off the ground. But if you really want to fly, if you want to really, really fly, you need this wing called dhikr. You need this wing. Because it's the adhkar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have this wing along with the knowledge, then you can fly like you cannot believe. And of course, I'm not talking about flying on a magic carpet to the moon. I'm talking about inside yourself. I'm talking about elevate yourself up to be what a human being can really be. But first start with the knowledge. Trust me, you need this one first. The first wing to move is the wing of knowledge. Because otherwise you won't know what's the right kind of dhikr to make. Because if you begin with dhikr, and only the dhikr of Allah, without the knowledge of Allah, then you'll make the same mistake. The same mistake to admire this wing of dhikr will be no benefit. Will be no benefit. Because you will just go in a circle the other way. What's the correct dhikr of Allah? First of all, you have to know who is Allah. That's why we said knowledge first. You know who is Allah? And many times in Islam, in the Quran, and even in the Shahadatain, it starts with something negative. La ilaha illallah. Starts with a negative. And then the affirmative, the positive, which is to say there is no deity anywhere, any place. There is nothing worthy of ibadah, of worship, illallah, except Allah. There isn't anything worthy of your worship, of your devotion, of your love, of your caring, except Allah. Everything else is created by Allah. Another easy way to say that one is to worship the Creator, not the creations. Worship the Creator, not the creation. So when a person, he has the right zikr, he will be thinking about Allah. Then the first thing he will do when he realizes, oh, I'm thinking about Allah, he will ask himself the question, what does Allah want from me? And Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ لِلْيَعْبُدُونَ. I only created you to worship me for ibadah. It means then, because you said, لا إله إلا الله, you will not accept any ibadah except the ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to do this, and that's what you want to do. Only this. Think about it. Think what I just said. And now think of another story of a small boy. He goes home to his mother. Mother, I love you. She said, oh, okay, show me. He said, you see tomorrow. Tomorrow he comes. Look what I have for you. She said, what is this? He said, roses. She said, I'm allergic to roses. Why do you bring these out? She's sneezing. He said, oh, mother, but these roses are beautiful. She said, I don't like roses. I like carnations, and I'm not allergic to carnations. You know that. Why do you bring me the roses? He said, because I got a good deal at Kmart. That means what? He bought what he liked. He likes the smell, he likes the look, and he likes the price. Very nice price. But I love you. Show me. Wait till tomorrow, mother, you're going to see. So tomorrow he comes again. She said, what's in this box? I have this box for you. What's in the box? Open it. Chocolate. Chocolate candy. I'm diabetic. I can't even eat this. Maybe I'll die. Where do you buy that? Well, mother, I love chocolate. And they had a sale on it. It came up. So again, it's buying what he likes. It's what he wants. And he's saying this is his devotion to his mother. Who's the devotion to? Himself and his pocketbook. Don't lie. That's the worst thing a Muslim can do, is to lie. And don't lie to Allah. Oh Allah, look at this worship I'm bringing to you. You need to accept this for me. I'm doing this for you. And think of the story the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about the three who will come on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. Think about it. Think. The three. The first one, he'll be asked about the favors of Allah, which he will confirm. Yes. And then he'll be asked, what did you do with your life? Say, oh Allah, I fought in your cause. I was mujahid for you. Huh? And he'll be told, no, you lie. You just fought so the people would say you were a great fighter, and they said it. You have your reward. And he'll be dragged on his face into hell. And the next one would come and confirm the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And they ask, what did you do with this? So Allah had great knowledge of Islam, and I used it for your sake. Remembering Allah, thinking of Allah, teaching Allah, so and so, for Islam. And he'll be told, you lie. You just did it so people would say you were alim. And they said it. And he'll be dragged on his face into hell. And the third one would come and be asked the same and answer the same. And then when they ask him about, what did you do with your life? And he would say, oh Allah, bless me with all this. Look, you know, the treasures and so, wealth and so, and I spent it in the cause of Allah, doing, you know, charitable works. He'll be told, you lie. You just did it so the people would say you were generous. And they said it. And then he would be dragged on his face into hell. What about us? We say over and over, yeah, I'm doing this for Allah. Feast to be Allah. Feast to be Allah. Get out of here. You don't kid anybody but yourself. You don't fool Allah. You don't fool His messenger. You're just fooling yourself. When you really do something for Allah, you don't sit and look at it like the butterfly doesn't look at his wings. You don't look at it either. You don't let the right hand know what's the left hand doing. When it comes to charity or something like this, you don't make sure that you accidentally have to tell somebody, oh, by the way, I didn't want to mention this. I hope I don't lose my reward with the law. But I gave $5,000 to the masjid the other day. I just mentioned that to you. Just accidentally fell out of my mouth that I helped this brother over here get a wife. It just accidentally slipped out of my mouth. Then I'm going to tell you how I helped that little boy over there so he could go to school to learn the Quran. MashaAllah, I hope I get the reward from Allah. Oops. Who are you fooling? So when you really think about Allah, you think about Allah, you think about Allah, you're not worried of, do the people see anything? Do you care? Are these people going to help you on the Yawm al-Qiyamah? I don't think so. I don't think one of us is going to help the other one on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. Not even so much to say, here, sit here by me. Nobody's going to say nothing. Get away from me. Even your own mother, who you love too much, she's always taking care of you. Since you were born, you'd have died if she didn't give you a fountain to drink out of. But yet on that day, she's going to tell you, you get away from me, and you're going to tell her, you get away from me too, because I don't have time for you today. That's right. So we should think about Allah and not what He created. Use the knowledge that you get so that you can make better difference to Allah. And the dhikr of Allah, not just to sit in a halaqa going, Allah, 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 Allah. What is that? Did you ever see people do this? I saw it before, several times. I saw this. We have one American, he came to Islam some years ago. He has a big place called Zaytuni Institute. That's what they do, sit on the floor. Allah, 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 for hours. For what? Stop and think about this. Anything from Sunnah tell you to do this? Nothing. Sahabis did this? Never. And besides that, the common sense. Suppose your name Abdullah, and I say, Abdullah, 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 Abdullah. How long before you can tell me what do you want? You got a point here, or are you just going to keep saying my name for what? You say, no, but I think Allah will like that. Yeah, just like the chocolates and the flowers for the mother. Same, same. It's not ibadah unless Allah said it's ibadah. You don't make it. If you did, then it's not Islam. Who told you what's Islam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the deena in the lahi Islam, he said in the Quran, which means there's no religion except that Allah is going to accept one thing, only Islam. This is the only religion, Islam. This is the belief. This is the way, Islam. The way, Islam. Deen, the way, Islam. وَمَمْ يَكْتَبِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And if anybody wants a religion other than Islam, Allah, He will never accept it from them. And in the akhir, they will be amongst the khasirin, the losers. Yes? Well, maybe Allah, He didn't give us everything then. We still have dreams. So the people will have dreams. And in the dreams, it's like prophecies, and we can learn new ways to worship Allah. And you forgot about the ayah. So, Tumayada, أَلْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. On this day, Allah perfected your religion for you, conferred His ni'mah on you, and He chose for you to make submission to Him in the deen of Islam, Islamadina. Yes or no? So the knowledge is very important, so you make the right kind of dhikr. And the dhikr is very important, so you will keep going for more knowledge. And between the both, balancing, thinking about Allah, for the sake of the knowledge and for the sake of the akhir, and the sake of the remembering of Allah, and both together, what will happen? The butterfly raises up. The butterfly raises up. You can be a mechanic working on a car and still be a wonderful Muslim. You can be a doctor taking care of a patient. You can be an engineer working at your job. You can be at the computer typing and still be a wonderful Muslim because you're thinking about Allah. And you're gaining knowledge so you can think about Allah more. And you're gaining knowledge so you can think about Allah more. And you're using them together in all the things that you do. And this is ideal Muslim. You don't have to abandon your job and go to Yemen and hang out. This is not the point. If you said, I have to leave here and I have to go somewhere else to be close to Allah. Excuse me. Where is Allah? He's in Yemen? Okay, let's go. Show me. He's in Egypt? I don't think so. This is actually against the teaching of Islam. Some people will say, yeah, you're right, He's everywhere. No, that's not it either. Where is Allah? He told us in the Quran, He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, 6 yawm, 6 periods of time. And then on the 7th yawm day, He went to Allah. He's going up over His arsh. And means what? Explain it. But He don't sit on it. He's not laying on it. And He's sure not resting on it. Because this is why I mentioned, because in the Bible it says that on the seventh day He rested. وَلَا سَنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He doesn't rest and He doesn't sleep, He says in the Quran. So we don't say that about Allah. But Allah is outside of His creation. He didn't make Himself. This is dumb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything that exists. But He didn't create Himself. He always was there. He's al-awwal wal-akhir. Always. La ilaha illallah. Okay, let's talk about now some little neat things we can do to get our wings flapping out here really nice. For the knowledge, we need the Quran. But even that's not it. As much as we need the Quran, and we should read it every day. Anybody want to argue with me? No, of course not. We know we need that. But even the Quran is called dhikr. It is. It's not called the ilm, it's called the dhikr. The reminder. Remind them. Remind them. Remind them. This is what the Prophet ﷺ was told to do. What? Remind the people. Remind them. Remind them. Remind them. So what do we need? Even before the Quran, what do we need? We need to ask Allah. Adina Siratul Mustaqim. If we say Adina Siratul Mustaqim, this opens the whole door to everything. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is something revealed in Quran which was not revealed in the books before. By the way, I know something about the books before, a little bit. So I wanted to challenge this right away. What was it? I want to know, what was it that was revealed? And the Sheikh is from Mesr, from Egypt. He told us, it is in Surah Fatiha. Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. I said, no, I think it says something like that in the Bible. Let me just check it out. I have a concordance of the Bible. I can check it. A few minutes, I can check it. I went through and I looked and I looked and I looked. There's nothing saying guide us. There's nothing saying straight path. I looked and I looked and I looked. All I could find was three things which mentioned in the Injil, the New Testament. What does it say? It said, seek and you shall find. Ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be opened to you. Well, guess what? This is also in a hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is in a hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him. He said that too. He said the same, similar words. So this is similar. But it doesn't tell you what to ask for. It doesn't tell you what to seek. Some people would say, seek knowledge. It doesn't tell you what to knock on either. But in Quran, in the very beginning, in the opening, the Fatiha, it says, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. So before you open the Quran, think. Think. Why am I opening this book? What do I need from this book? What do I need? It's the book of Allah. What do I need? It's the speech of Allah. What do I need from it? Guidance. Guidance. Ihdina. It's a form of the word hidayah. Huda. Coming from the same. It's the same root. It's just pronounced different because in this stage, some of the Arabic words, your first letter will be preceded by an alif and then it becomes without a tashkil mark. So that's why it's ihdina. You don't hear it. Because you're almost like swallowing it. But it's the word hidayah. Give us hidayah. Give us hidayah. And it's a good prayer, isn't it? So you're beginning with dhikr to get knowledge, but you're beginning with knowledge to get dhikr. See how those two wings work? Do you see it? So this is where we'll begin. Ask Allah to guide us. Then we'll turn to His book. And then we'll look to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll look to the lives of his Sahabi. May Allah accept from all of them, radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have His mercy for us and guide us to the Sirat, which is the Sirat of those whom He had favor, and not of those who have His anger, nor those who go astray. غَيْرُ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَدَّعْمِينَ Amen. Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this chance to be together in Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Allah let us be here for Fajr. Those of you who were here last night, you had the reward as though you stood in the half of the night. Half of the night because you prayed the Isha here. Just for Isha. Never mind about Taraweeh, this is something bonus. But how about this morning? You come and you prayed now the Fajr. And you stayed now. So, because you came for the pleasure, Allah, He gives you the reward of the other half of the night. But in Ramadan, it counts more. So many of the deeds counting more and more, and the salat counting more and more. And the things which you do in Ramadan, which are sunnah, become as though you did fard. When you pray sunnah, it's like fard. And when you do any fard, it's like 70 times, like 700 times, like as much as Allah would like to give you. You don't know what you got for Fajr this morning. It's waiting for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. You don't know in the rakatain of Fajr, in the rakatain of Subh. You don't know what's waiting just for sitting here right now. Just for sitting here and being patient with an old man talking to you. You don't know the amount of ajr building for you in your bank account with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even sleeping here while I'm talking is ajr for you. Yes, there's no problem. Because the niyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's given reward for niyyah. He's given reward for the jama'ah. Yeah, sometimes some people, you might say, oh, you know, this guy, he's, we don't know about him. You don't need to know about him, by the way, Allah knows. And the fact that Allah bring anybody with us this morning, He'll forgive everybody. If He's going to forgive one, He's kareem, He's generous. He's not bakhil, He's not like us. If you buy some apples at the store and some friends come to your house, you say, mashallah, I'm going to get some ajr, I'll give these apples out. Wait a minute, let me open the bag. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, I have 12 guests. Never mind, I'll give them peanuts. Because I don't know how to divide 10 apples into 12 pieces. I'm serious. That's what we do. A whole lot of guests come to your house and you get all excited. Wait a minute, I can't give them that because it's not enough. But Allah has no limit on what He will give to somebody. Yes or no? His treasures are without limit. There's no limit. He can give and give and give. So if He wants to forgive this man right here, right now, He can forgive all of us. I hope He forgives you right now. All of us. I mean, Ya Rab. I picked on him because he looks like the kind of guy that really like to be forgiven. Right? Yeah. Okay. I know I'm that kind of guy. And all of us, finally, the last point, all of us should be like one wing of the butterfly to each other. We should complement each other and work together to lift this whole ummah up and get us off of this deathbed that we're laying in and wallowing in like some kind of dying animal. We should all work together to reflect the good of each other, to lift each other up. We don't need to reflect the bad. You don't need to come to me and tell me, by the way, the condition of the Muslims today. I've been in more countries than you have. I've talked to more people than you have, and I will tell you, I understand that. But because I don't talk about it doesn't mean I don't know about it. It means I choose not to discuss that. I would like to tell you, when I was in Pakistan, I found some wonderful people that recite the Quran day and night. I found some sisters covering their faces, mashallah, and I saw a lot of good things. And somebody come to me and they say, yeah, but brother, do you know about X and Y and Z, and they do so and so and so? I said, brother, I'm not stupid. I was 40 some years in business in this country, and it was very successful, made millions of dollars. You don't think I know what bad is when I see it? But I choose not to look at that. I want to look at the good of this butterfly. These wings that we have, this knowledge and the dhikr of Allah, is not going to be blessed by when I go to like Egypt, for instance. And I'm going to tell you, in Egypt I found many sisters covering their faces and dressing in nice sunnah way, and the brothers dressing in nice sunnah way. And especially I saw in Egypt so much kindness, so much generosity, and I learned this word like is bismillah mashallah. They say it all the time, and the other word they say all the time, tafaddo, 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 come and sit with us, welcome, welcome, welcome. Even people doesn't have one cucumber, still come and sit with us, whatever we have is yours. I found that in Egypt. And in Turkey, you say, oh, no way, you didn't find anything good in Turkey. Yes, I did. I found brothers wearing the sunnah. I found sisters again wearing the hijab. Some like to cover their face. In Turkey! All of these are on videotape, by the way. If you have some doubts in your mind of the good things that Muslim countries have, I'm the one who went and made these documentaries myself and was there and saw it. Of course I didn't turn the camera over here and show you that these people did this and those people did that. You can watch CNN for that. That's their job. They're very good at that. Brother was reminding me about this subject. I think we were talking about this, that all of a sudden, you know how the camera shifted. When we were talking Taliban, oh, only show the pictures of what? Destruction and dirt and no buildings, just boom, bam, everything, no good. Nothing's any good with Taliban. As soon as the Northern Alliance came out, oh, all of a sudden, where did these mosques come from? Where did these big buildings come from? Now they just turned the camera in a different direction. Selective reasoning. When it's these guys, everything's bad. When it's these guys, everything's good. Right? It's the same thing I'm telling you about. You're just looking at the wing. Let's use these wings. We use these wings by doing what? We worship Allah the way He ordered us to worship Him on His terms. That's the first thing we do. The second thing we do, and I'm taking this from a hadith, by the way. Let me give you the hadith so you see where I'm going with it. This is a misquoted hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says in the hadith, Adina Nasiha. Everybody here, probably you heard this hadith. Who didn't hear it? Raise your hand. You never heard me, heard this hadith from anybody. Adina Nasiha. My dear brother, Adina Nasiha. And usually, after they tell you that, what does it mean, by the way? In English, it means that Islam, the religion, is good advice. Islam is good advice. Huh? That's what it means. If you think that, raise your hand. It doesn't mean that. You were set up. It doesn't mean that. Because they don't quote you the rest of the hadith. Usually when a brother comes to me, As-salamu alaykum ya shaykh, alhamdulillah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adina nasiha. Okay, so somebody comes to me and they tell me, dear brother, I would like to remind you that the Prophet told us, peace be upon him, that religion is advice. Because guess what's going to happen next? He's going to give me some advice, right? Right? You saw it every time somebody comes to you. By the way, I didn't see you, and your pants are too long, and your miswak is too short, and your beard is too short, and the hijab is not covering enough of what you got going here. And by the way, the way you do this and the way you pronounce that, blah, 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 blah. Adina Nasiha, Adina Nasiha. I'm going to keep saying this until I make you crazy. In fact, sometime when somebody said Adina Nasiha, you scrunch up like this, like, oh no, what's this guy going to say next? Can't stand it. But how many of you know that is not the real hadith? That is not correct. That is a part of a hadith. Uh-huh. What's the rest of the hadith? Adina Nasiha to who? Nasiha to who? They asked to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who? And he said, Allah. Can you give advice to Allah? Oh Allah, the giraffe's neck looks terribly long to me. I think you should make it a lot shorter. And the size of that pit inside, that big seed inside the mango, does it leave room for enough juice? Oh, and by the way, Allah, you made the Nile River going the wrong way. And by the way, what? Are you Majnun? What are you talking about? You don't give nasiha to Allah if you think it means advice. And to who? And to his Rasul. You're going to tell Rasul something? What are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him? Now, Musa alayhi salam gave him advice. He told him, go back to Allah and get the prayers knocked down from 50. Because it's too much, they won't do it. He was right, wasn't he? How many of you here think we can handle 50 prayers a day? How many of you here can handle 5? So you're going to give advice to Rasul? La ilaha illallah, I don't think so. Besides that, I hate to mention this to you, but he did die 1400 years ago. And we don't go to his grave and say anything except salams and like this. We don't go over there and say, I want to give you some advice and deen in the siha. We don't do that. He said to Allah and his Rasul, to the Wali Amr, which is the one in charge of the Muslims, and then to the general public. So what does it mean? It doesn't mean advice. That's the point. The whole point of what I'm saying is that does not mean advice. It means what? It means dedication. Devotion. Sincerity. That's the meaning. Because nasiha, when you use it meaning advice, it means sincere advice. Not the kind where you come up and tell me how long my pants are. Not the kind where you tell me that, I can't put my hands on my stomach or on my chest, or I can't move my finger a certain way when I play. That's a pray. This is really not advice. This is you showing off your right wing to show me how much you know about Islam and you think I don't know. That's what that is. And in front of Allah, it's worth what? We already talked about that. When you got the knowledge, just say, oh, I got this brand new hadith. I can't wait to get to the masjid and find somebody to drop it on them. Oh, excuse me, brother, I did it in the sea. And by the way, you know, I don't think you can drive that car because I think you bought it on a lease and that lease is blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? See? See? By the way, you want some real nasiha? Whenever you see a brother doing something you think is wrong, first thing you should say is, astaghfirullah, because probably I'm looking at him and probably I have 10 things worse in me than is in him. Second thing is to go to him and don't say, brother, adina nasiha, or anything like this. Is to go to him and just become his friend. So that whenever you do give the advice to him, he's ready to take it. And he doesn't feel like it, you're just attacking him. First, take him out to a meal, you know, or two, or three meals. You say, well, this is going to take a long time. That's right. That's right. That's what I want you to do. I want you to know this brother real well before you open your big fat mouth and try to tell him everything you know about Islam. Am I being too hard on you in the morning? That's too hard, isn't it? That's too rough. I need to take it easy. Right? Guess what? I'm not going to anyway. So, I'm serious about this. This is an important subject. We scared more people away from Islam doing this than anything else. We did more damage against Islam than all the Yahudi in the world. When people come to the masjid, well, you know, I don't pray. I need to pray. Yeah, man, I got to get my act back together. I'm so bad, you know. Okay, I'm going to go to the masjid. Really, Allah, I'm asking you, forgive me. Allah, look at me. I'm terrible. I don't have a beard or I don't wear hijab. I don't pray. I don't do anything, but if I go to the masjid, I'm going to feel good. I'll feel nice. Allah, He'll guide me. And get to the parking lot. The parking lot! Hello! I don't even get in the masjid and I got the Bismillah police surrounding me, ready to beat me with a stick. And you know what I'm going to do? I think I'll call CNN and tell them Taliban are in the parking lot. I think that's what I'll do. Because we're lying. What are we doing? It's not the way. How about this? I want you to stop and think real hard about this one. I'm going to wind up here now because there's something I want to tell you about in closing. But I've got to tell you this one. Today, your brother in Islam, he says, La ilaha illallah. Your sister in Islam, she said, La ilaha illallah. Is that not enough for you? Isn't it? These people are already Muslim. And you don't want them in the masjid because you think that their pants are too long or that, you know, there's something about them that's bothering you. Yeah. But think at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about this. And one is not even a Muslim yet. They're just given the dawah. And he came into the masjid, inside the masjid. You said, oh brother, astaghfirullah, you left your shoes on when you walked on the carpet. Astaghfirullah. He's a new Muslim. He doesn't know. Or he's not used to it. He forgot. So be sure and say it loud so everybody will stare at him and make a fool out of him. Right? Make him look like an idiot so he'll never come back. Right? Even if he has dirt on his shoe. What are you supposed to do? It's in the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man inside the masjid urinated. For those of you that didn't study much about medical terminology, he peed on the floor. The Sahabi, by the way, the Sahabi are like us in one way, at least. They were ready to kill him. And look at the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said. Let him finish. And then put something on it, you know, water, dirt, something, get rid of it, and tell him this is a masjid. We don't do that in here. That's it. That's it! And you're telling me, oh, this is the sacred house of Allah, this is Bayt Allah. Well, if you believe that, I have an idea for you. If you really believe that, why don't you try dropping a little bit more money in the things to take care of this masjid? That's what's needed. When's the last time somebody urinated on this floor? I don't think so. No. And that was in Medina. That's the holiest place in the world to some people. didn't say I said that. It's a very holy place. How many of you have been inside the router? You know what's the router? Yeah, alhamdulillah. It's very, a person did that. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't let them kill him. Nothing said. Just tell him not to do that here. Why? Because the only reason it's the bait of Allah is because there are Muslims. If there's no Muslims, then it's nothing anymore. Without the Muslims, it's nothing. Allah doesn't need that place. You think Allah lives there? Is that what you thought? Excuse me, I don't think so. If you think, oh Allah, He'll protect all of these mosques all over the earth, that's not true. How about the Barber Masjid? Anybody know where's the Barber Masjid? What country?
India.
What happened to it 10 years ago? Well, 8 years ago, whatever. 10.
Destroyed,
blown up. Right? What about the Masjid in California? Brand new Masjid, and they blew it up. And what about the Masjid in, not Clemson, Greenville, South Carolina, burnt to the ground by the Kuffar, 1996. By the way, last spring we were down there, a few months ago we were over there, and we give shahada to some of those guys. How about that? Change that redneck, boy. By the way, brother, Dina Nasiha, you need to get rid of that red neck. You need to grow your beard over your neck or something. Stop. Right? Alhamdulillah. Why I'm saying this is because, look, we really want to make this butterfly thing work. It's not going to work unless we stop doing the wrong things. We don't need to look at how great our knowledge is or how great our dhikr is. Let Allah take care of that. You get the knowledge for the sake of learning how to make the right dhikr. You get the dhikr so that you can balance your knowledge. Because when both of them are balanced, then you can go somewhere. Then you can go somewhere. And a brother is a mirror to his brother. So certainly you see where I pulled that from, that hadith. A lot of the things I'm telling you, you might think, well, where's that in Islam? All of what I'm telling you is from hadith and ayahs of the Quran. I'm just putting it together in plain old Texas language. Now finally, I'm going to mention this subject to you. I told you last night, for those of you that were here, I said that if you had something for $1,000 here this morning, you would have shown up. How many of you remember me mentioning the $1,000? Did anybody bring a pen? I have in my checkbook. With anybody has a pen? No? You got one? Watch this man very closely, by the way. Well, actually, it turns out I do have my pen. I don't have a checkbook. Whose checkbook can I borrow? No?
I didn't bring mine.
Didn't make it on purpose. St. Yusuf's going to be there. I'm not taking no money right out of here. Okay, well, guess what? Something better than $1,000. How many of you, and this is a surprise, how many of you are ready for Hajj? Raise your hand. Ready for Hajj? Well, why am I not seeing unanimous hands going up here? You're not ready for Hajj. You don't want a free Hajj. Somebody said, right now, I want to pay for your Hajj. You don't want it? How many, I'm going to ask you again, how many are ready to go for Hajj if somebody else is paying? Raise your hand. I still didn't get 100% on that one. Amazing. Look, free Hajj, no visa. And you can do it in Ramadan. Raise your hand.
You pay for that.
Huh?
Our politicians go free Hajj because government pays.
Yeah, but I bet they don't go in Ramadan. They go for Hajj in Ramadan?
They go there, they spend time.
No, Hajj. Talking about Hajj. You can't go for Hajj in Ramadan, I don't think.
No, but they stay until Hajj.
Well, I'm saying, how would you like to do Hajj today? Right now, paid for, in full, no visa, no shots.
Get paid for that. Get paid.
And how? How? Pray when the prayer comes time, anytime after Ishraq, after Shuruq, you can pray Duha, and it will count as though it is one riwayah, it says Umrah. Another riwayah, it says in Ibn Majid, it says Umrah. In Tirmidhi, it says Hajj. And you have Hajj and Umrah for this and this occasion. Now, how you get this? The Prophet ﷺ said, if anybody will come for the Fajr Salat, which you already did that. You already did that. And then stay in their place, engaged in ibadah, worship of Allah, which we're going to consider that my talking is that. I hope Allah accept that. Until the sun rises, and pray two rakatain. If he prayed this, it will count for him as Hajj and Umrah Mabrur accepted. And what does that mean? What is Hajj? Who will tell me what is Hajj? What is the reward of Hajj? And the Prophet ﷺ said, nothing less than Jannah. Nothing less than Jannah. Now you've already paid. You've done everything you're supposed to do. You came, you prayed Fajr, you stayed here, you're ready. I think the time is in, right? Yeah? Time's in. You're ready. Pray those two rak'ahs and you've got your Hajj. Just like that. Just like that. And guess what? The only one in this room is going to make out better than you is who? Me. Because I called you to it. I'll take the reward for all of it. Inshallah. And I don't even have to keep record. Allah will even do that for me. It's better than Amway. Better than multi-level. Allah keeping up with all of it. Jazakum Allah khair. I ask Allah to forgive me for my very poor way of explaining and talking this morning. I ask all of you to be patient with me. I'm still learning. But certainly, all of us together, we are the two wings of the butterfly for each other. May Allah guide us. May He save us. May He forgive all of us. May He accept our Ramadan. Ameen. Ya Rab. In Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hu Allah di Jalana Muslimin. Subhanakallahumma wa hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakum Allah khair. Salam.